hurricane season. News Radio 92.3 provides informative, local, and dependable coverage to make sure you're informed of any major storms coming to our area. Before a storm, we keep you informed of the storm's track, where food and gas shortages occur, and where you can get sandbags. During the storm, we stay on the air to let you know where the storm is headed, where power outages occur, road closures, and other storm warnings. Then after the storm, we get you the information to help you recover from the storm and help your neighbors. News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable hurricane headquarters. Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Tonight it's very clear as we're both lying here. There's so many things I want to say.
Speakers are asked to refrain from abusive or profane remarks, disruptive outbursts.
See, come that's on. The problem. Your forked tongue gets you in trouble. Just like,
no, it
you
does make not.
If you don't know who I am, close your mouth. Something's going to fly in your mouth.
You're going to have to be quiet when I'm talking. I'm sorry. I'm not going to do the insubordination.
This is not transparent, open government.
I have never said you were psychotic, though you may be.
I don't know that I care for the narrative.
Well, Stephen, I certainly didn't mean to hurt your feelings or anybody else's, or to imply that any one of us is not doing what...
I'm not a maiden who needs to be saved from my feelings.
Wonderful, thank you.
Love can touch us one time and last for a lifetime.
I mean, we can't reduce... I mean, it's politically conservative, whatever y'all want to say, it's fine. But if we can't find $2 million, then shame on us. We can give a directive without telling someone to cut the millage rate, because the unknown is the unpredictable.
So nobody's in favor of a millage rate rollback at all?
I am. I absolutely am. Speaking of rollback, what is, just so it's on the record, what is the rollback rate for the county portion?
So the rollback rate is 6.3807. So that would reduce roughly $7.5 million to the budget.
And I think the best way to get to the rollback rate is to have an actual discussion about what needs to be not cut, not just putting less money in reserves. But that's not how I would run my household budget. That's not how I run my business. When we need to make cuts, we look at how we can be more efficient. We don't look at saving less.
So it was interesting. It was a very interesting hour discussion about the budget. The real question is whether to keep the millage flat at 6.6, whether to roll it back to 6.3807 fully, and meaning that you would basically pay the exact same dollars that you paid last year in property taxes, but the county would forego $7 million of revenue. If you keep the tax rate flat, then the county makes $7 million more. The state considers that a tax increase because you pay more money. Therefore, it takes four commissioners to vote for that, so any two can thwart that plan. So the question is, how can you, in the words of Stephen Berry, cobble together enough of four votes so that you can get this passed? They have to somehow get four people to vote for this, because previously Ashley Hoffberger has said, I'm willing at least to go for a full rollback, $7 million. Steven Stroberger says a partial rollback, maybe $1 million. Lumen May says, I mean, I can find $1 to $2 million or $1 to $2 million in waste. If I just, you know, I know where to find waste and cut it, to which I think, well, then do so, sir. Stephen Berry doesn't want to make any cuts at all, but he recognizes that the other commissioners do want to make some kind of cut. There's some disagreement about if you cut the budget, do you also have to cut the millage? Lumen wants to cut the budget, but not the millage. Which, if you understand millage and budgets, that like makes no sense. Like, if you're going to reduce the spending and you want to keep the take in the same, like you just want to keep taking our money and you just want to hold it? Super weird position, okay? So then Mike Kohler is, you know, kind of willing to do what needs to be done, apparently, you know, but, you know, always in general in favor of some kind of cuts. But, you know, he kind of comes in sideways with a whole bunch of wild proposals. But again, the key thing to keep in mind, and Stephen Berry said it many times, was...
We got to cobble together four votes. If what you're saying is a million, I can live with that as a millage rate. We got to cobble together four votes. Buddy, we've got to cobble together four votes. We got to cobble together four votes and leave tonight with a millage rate. You know, we've got to cobble together four votes tonight.
Now, he didn't say those all right after each other, but he did say it multiple times in the meeting, which is true. They have to get four votes in order to pass the millage. And if they can't, then it goes to the rollback rate. And basically, Ashley wins and sort of sees Stroberger kind of wins. So that's why he's saying we got to get four. It's also a little bit of shade at Ashley Hoffberger, because he's kind of addressing, yes, the board, but also the men on the board and saying, look, the woman's going to say no, you know? And so if we don't get our four on board somehow or other, then we can't pass this thing. You know, you decide how you want to take it, but that's kind of where we're at. So back to the conversation. We started this last hour, but, you know, what do you want to do?
Sorry, Commissioner Berry, I guess I interrupted you.
No, it's fine. So, Steve, what are you saying? What are you asking, buddy?
What do you want to do to North?
Yeah, what are you asking?
I was asking for a millage rate back to 6.549, which was going to be about 1.7.
Okay, what else can you live with?
I didn't hear that. What'd you say?
What else can you live with? What can you live with that's not that?
So Barry asked Stroberger, what do you want? Well, 6.549 is the millage. That'll save every homeowner about $4 for $100,000 of value of their house. So if you have a $300,000 house, you're going to save $12 this year. Big stuff. And, you know, well, Stephen Barry says, you know, hey, well, what else can you live with? But, you know.
That's not that.
Like, I'm not willing to give you that. It reminds me of that lion in Tron, you know, where they're introducing him and he's like, what do I do with this? Not that. It's so condescending. Okay, fine. So then they have a conversation about, well, if the millage stays the same versus the total amount of dollars created, is that a tax increase or not?
I don't have to decide this by myself. Well, I'm just telling you, that's what we're asking. If you're asking for $2 million in reduction, I don't see the point in
I'm trying to meet you where you are. Steve, I'm not asking for anything. I want to meet you as a colleague. I'm trying to meet you where you are.
This is less than $2 million. I'm just telling you, it doesn't make any sense. We're still asking the public to absorb the taxes still. They're still going to have an increased tax this year, right?
It's
going to be $7.5 million more.
They're not going to have an increased tax rate, Steve. Okay.
It's not a rate increase, but it is an increase because
the value of their property.
Yes.
Right. It's not a millage increase, but it is an increase in the total amount of dollars that you have to pay on your property tax bill. That's the whole issue. And you know, Stephen Barry wants to say we're not increasing taxes because we didn't increase the millage. Technically, that's right if you view it from a rate percentage. Steven Stroberger takes the position of the state and says, if you're increasing how much you're charging people for the property taxes, it is a tax increase. So, you know, there's a longstanding dispute about this. We'll come back to it in a second. PJ has traffic on the fives.
There is a vehicle crash with injuries, Davis Highway at Berg Street in Pensacola. Use caution through that area. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, I-10 westbound right near Avalon Boulevard in Milton. No roadblock there. I'm PJ through traffic on the five.
So Stephen Barry says, look, we cut $500,000 last year, which is not a cut. It's a less taking, you know. Like the total cost of property taxes went up by 7 instead of 7.5, or I think it's like it actually went up by 6.5. It's 6.5 million instead of 7 million. That's not a cut, even though it is. If you take, you know, we're taking in less money, so that's a cut. Well, you know, we're still taking more, so is it a cut really?
Right.
Steve, just interact with me for a minute, if you will. Okay. So, what did we do last year? We reduced it, and we got
by $500,000 last year.
Commissioner, it was $500,000 last year.
Okay, so that's still a success. I mean, other counties in the state are not reducing millage, but that's fine. We're only working with our county.
All right, so you know nobody else is cutting anywhere else because they're all scared about the property tax amendment. But you know, what do you want?
You know, Madam Chair, we've not had a clamoring for property tax reduction. That's never filled these chambers in 15 budgets. That's not been what's happened here. This is something that's been pushed by the legislature. That's been pushed as a top-down approach, not a bottoms-up approach. But, you know, that doesn't matter either.
That is a fascinating comment. Stephen Barry just said you don't care about property taxes. And you don't even want property tax reduction. Or property tax not increasing. That's what he said. He said that we don't have a groundswell of people showing up here complaining about the high cost of property taxes. And I'm sure that's true because I've watched all these meetings for the last 13, 12 and a half years, and there's not some big push. Does that mean that people do not care? Does that mean that people do not want it? Or does that mean that people do not believe they can get it? And why bother showing up and asking for it? Or why bother going to a budget hearing at all? The fact that we haven't had a groundswell of push is not the same as people not caring at all about it. But I also understand his perspective that Tallahassee has been pushing this agenda, and it sure has. But look at the public resonance to it, that people would like to pay less in taxes, okay?
What I'm asking you is, we did $500,000 last year. If you want, you know, and that's a success. If you want to say, look, I can't live with less than $1 million. That's, what number is that? So 6.571.
6.571 would be $1 million reduction.
So that's $1 million in millage rate decrease. And that's twice as much as you did last year. You kind of led the charge last year. That's fine. We got to cobble together four votes. I mean, that's what we're working towards.
Well, somehow or other, we got to come to an agreement about this, right?
The millage, I'm not going to support cutting the mill. I'm not going to support cutting the millage rates to. I mean, we can stay here all night. I'm not going to support cutting the millage rate. $2 million impact.
Okay, so he's not willing to go to $2 million for the county, which again, that would be about $6 per $100,000 valuation in your home. So if you have a $300,000 home, Stephen Berry is willing to cut $9 from your property tax bill. He's not willing to cut $18. It's just, when you put these numbers in those terms, it all sounds so absurd. By the way, the rollback rate would be about $65-$70, something like that, for a $300,000 valuation home. Just if you can kind of wrap your head around what sort of numbers we're actually talking about in terms of, do you care about the reduction of $1 million or $2 million or even $7 million for your property taxes, okay? So Stephen Berry says, you know, I'm good with the one, I'm not good with the two, and if we start doing more than $1 million, we're going to start talking about the sheriff's budget.
Anything, you start to get, in my opinion, based on my discussions with Stephen and with Wes, you start to get over $1 million and, you know, the constitutionals have been mentioned, but the biggest constitutional is the sheriff. You get over $1 million, you're going to start affecting the sheriff's budget. And I don't know that that's the appetite that this board has, nor myself. So if what you're saying is $1 million, I can live with that as a millage rate. We got to cobble together four votes.
And Lumen May, just keep saying, and Lumen May had said previously he thinks he can just find $2 million in the budget that won't affect anything, you know, squish money, so to speak. I'll ask Wes Moreno here in about 20 minutes if he thinks that's accurate or not. But, you know, look, Lumen says, and again, his position is so weird to me, he wants to reduce the budget, but he doesn't want to reduce the millage.
There's probably never, you know, probably 90% of the time, Commissioner Berry and I respect his ability to decipher budgets, and I always lean to him. But I'm not going to support reducing the millage rate. I'll support finding cuts, $2 million, you know, $3 million, whatever you want to find to direct staff. But to cut the millage rate, to me, would not be good stewardship for me.
All right. So Ashley Hoffberger, who has not said a whole lot in this meeting, as is sometimes her practice. Also, she's the chair, so it's not always her role to put forward the proposals exactly. But, you know, the other four have been talking kind of amongst themselves all this time, and Stephen Berry keeps saying, cobble four, as in it doesn't really, you know, we don't have to do what she wants if we can get our four together, and they cannot get their four together, at least not yet. So she jumps in with...
So I'm going to throw my where I stand on this. If we could cut it by $1.2 million... and that other $200,000 come from discretionary funds being eliminated, I would support this budget.
Madam Chair, I knew that was going to come up, so I'm going to help out. If you feel compelled to do this, this is a team sport. I'll be more than happy to cut yours and Steve's. I also am willing to cut the clerk's $100,000 legal slush fund and the one that Bubba has, because I don't think they have two lawyers. That's extra money that could come back to the county.
All right, here we go. If you want to lose your money, fine. Pam Childers and Bubba Peters want to lose their money, fine.
But I have no problem. I voted for Steve to have a special contract, none of the rest to have of that. I let him do it. But if we're going to start cutting independently, let's do it. So, I mean, I'm not going to give up my right when the sheriff gets $500,000 in law enforcement trust funds, and not one person on this board's voted against it, and not one's asked to write the attorney general or the CFO. So it's kind of a little bit ridiculous we're talking about discretionary funds. But if you want me to put a motion to get rid of your twos, I will do that for you.
I'm just letting you know where I stand. So now he's talking about the law enforcement trust fund, which is drug seizure money. I don't know what the relationship there is, except I guess he's thinking, we, you know, we're getting our charity scrutinized and the sheriff isn't getting his charity scrutinized. Well, it's not taxpayer funds. It's drug seizure money. So they are different. And there's a lot of discretion by the sheriff to use that money how he thinks in order to prevent crime. But, you know, OK, Mike's got things he wants to say. So he's saying them.
But point of clarification, there's no such thing, because by statute we voted, there's no such thing as discretionary funds. So I don't know why, because it's politically correct to say discretionary funds. It doesn't exist. It's community impact funds.
We changed the name so it doesn't exist anymore. It's not discretionary funds. It's community impact funds. See, not, it's not even true anymore. Stop calling it that. With same thing with a different name, slightly different process. But like Lumen thinks it doesn't even exist. He's gonna doesn't even exist if they're changing the name.
Feeding people and helping.
It's the Gulf of America now, not the Gulf of Mexico. The water doesn't even exist anymore. What?
Feeding people and helping people. So, I mean, I wish we would
stop saying. But I get 200,000. We just cut 100,000 from the clerks.
Down and I'll vote for it. But there's no such thing as discretionary funds. People like to say that because it's a buzzword and maybe some reporter will report it. There's no such thing as discretionary funds. That was gotten rid of. When did we get rid of that, Mr. Attorney? When did we change it to community impact funds from discretionary? How long ago was that?
I believe it was March.
Last March. So I don't know why we keep bringing up discretionary. There's no such thing. Okay, and we're in litigation.
Just because you changed the name doesn't mean you got rid of the practice.
So you know what? I mean, I like my fiscal conservative friends who are not willing to take a cut and look
I'm
at the budget.
I'm cut the fireworks show on the beach. Why do we pay for two?
Let's cut it all.
Yeah, I'm willing to cut the fireworks show on the beach. I'm willing to cut Mardi Gras. I'm ready to cut. I'm really ready to cut. If you want to talk about discretionary funds.
She says those are tourism tax dollars, which is true. It's a totally different pot of money.
I am really ready to show you cut. But you're not really ready to do that.
No,
you're ready
I'm
for
so,
political
I'm actually
theater,
very happy you brought that up. Because for the tourism
that 1.2 is a game. Don't nobody
I'm
really
talking,
want to cut.
I am talking.
I don't care if you're talking. Okay. I'm responding to him. But 1.2 is a game
so
that they're
the
doing.
For the tourism tax
what cut? Make a motion.
So she goes into explaining how she had said that she, even on the Tourism Development Committee where she sits, that she had proposed that they should be able to show that they've put heads in beds, not just, you know, intended. And finally, you know, and this is going to be where we're going to have to end it, but this is just a teaser for what's coming next hour.
Orlando does what Mickey Mouse tells him to do. And so, I mean, so why are we confusing Avalon tax dollars with TDC dollars that come in by bed tax? That has nothing to do with property tax dollars in our general fund. It has nothing to do with our general fund. So we're mixing it because there are sound bites. And so, but if we can stay here all night and have sound bites, I'm willing.
Look, I just think this mean girl that you're doing, Mike, is not, it's not working well with me, okay?
Oh, so that's a little bit of a tease for next hour. That's where this is going. Steve Strugger says, all this mean girl bleep is not working for me. Oh, cool. So, like I said, it was a nice, calm, rational, interesting discussion. It's Gambie County budget hearing the other day. 626 on News Radio 92.3, PJ has traffic for us. PJ?
Still working that vehicle crash with injuries, I-10 westbound near Avalon Boulevard in Milton. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, Davis Highway at Berg Street in Pensacola. Use caution. I'm PJ with your traffic on the 5.
And by the way, I still haven't even gotten to the stuff with Pam Childers yet. Like, we haven't even gotten there, but we will. Just, you know, give me time. Takes a minute. If you're thinking about buying or selling a home, Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty, super good at this. They sold 206 homes in the last calendar year of 2025, 270 in the last 12 months. Used to be about 3 a week on average when the market was challenged. You know, they'd gone down from about 4 a week to 3 a week. Still a lot of homes. Then now 4 and now back up to 5 a week now, more than they've ever sold. So what that means for you, experience, knowledge, how to get things done, how to price it right, how to negotiate, how to get you all the way through to closing, just all of what you want in terms of solving the problem of selling your house or buying a house. They have a lot of experience, and I always say, you know, don't hire her because I say so, but do talk to her because I say so. Include her in your list of people that you're going to talk to. 786-3996 for Christina Leavenworth and her team at Leavenworth Realty.
Tune into Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sundays at 1 with Paul Roberts. Find out how their certified advisors can help you enjoy your retirement income. Financial security is about more than just investments. Roberts Wealth can help you live your values and trust your future planning every step of the way. Don't miss Transcending the Money Myth, hosted by Roberts Wealth Management, Sunday at 1 p.m. Investment advisory services offered by Foundations Investment Advisor Services, LLC, SEC, registered advisors.
Making the wrong choice can be very costly. Choosing the wrong plumbing company can cost you a lot of money. Hi, I'm Judy Lacey with Barbary Plumbing, and we've been repairing Pensacola's plumbing problems for over 50 years. We are the local originator of the flat rate pricing system, so you don't have to pay by the hour, and there are no surprises. When you need a plumber, make the right choice and call Barbary Plumbing. We will make your plumbing great again.
License number RF11067749.
Join Stefan Schmidt, Marine Service Technology Instructor at Georgetown Technical College on the Pensacola Expert Panel tomorrow at 10 a.m. Key Marine Center is sponsoring the show. When Key Marine needs to hire Marine Service Technicians, they hire students from Georgetown Technical College. It's a dream team, so join them tomorrow at 10 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Getting you up to date as you head to work. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News on News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
Not that I condone fascism, or any ism for that matter. Isms, in my opinion, are not good. A person should not believe in an ism. He should believe in himself.
Good morning, 6:29 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. David Wayne is in the newsroom with our headlines. David?
Well, good morning to you, Andrew. Hockey broadcaster and former coach Barry Melrose has died at the age of 70. Melrose led the Los Angeles Kings to the 93 Stanley Cup and then had a long career as an ESPN hockey analyst. He stepped away from broadcasting a couple years ago, back in 2023, after a Parkinson's diagnosis. The widow of a man killed in the Amazon cargo plane crash in Miami has now filed a wrongful death lawsuit. Not even going to attempt that name, but she's suing Amazon 21 and the two pilots, alleging the crash was preventable and involved a high-speed landing and inadequate training.
Yeah, the only real question is why, you know, how long was it going to take? I mean, but of course, there's going to be lawsuits in the wake of this incident. I would expect that's not going to be the only one. So we'll see more. Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator, shows up next.
President Trump spoke at night one of the RNC's midterm convention for nearly 2 hours with a new type of pitch. Keep Republicans in power, get a $5,000 check.
I will issue a dividend to every adult citizen in the United States of America for $5,000.
But he warns if Republicans lose this November's congressional elections, the Democrats will work to undo not just his economic policies, but also border control and crime reduction.
Fox's Eben Brown, Vice President J.D. Vance keynotes tonight, and today marks the one-year anniversary of the Charlie Kirk assassination.
Kirk was well known for his college campus visits and impact on young voters nationwide, opening up the floor to debate while encouraging political participation. His supporters saw his death as a call to action.
Fox's Madeline Rivera, America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. Right now we've got 77 degrees across northwest Florida. We'll get a full look at our forecast from Channel 3. That's up here in just a couple of minutes. A Crestview woman almost lost $25,000 to a sophisticated scam using spoofed phone numbers and AI voice technology. Narissa Jenkins says a caller claiming to be an Okaloosa deputy told her she'd missed jury duty and needed to pay through a Bitcoin ATM to avoid being arrested. That call, she said, even appeared to come from the sheriff's office's real number. Jenkins grew suspicious, went to the sheriff's office, and learned the whole thing was a scam. Of course, this is something we've heard about all across northwest Florida. Sheriff Eric Aiden said the calls are getting harder to detect. He's urging anybody that is contacted in that method to simply hang up and not to engage with the scammers. A 33-year-old Foley man now facing multiple charges after confessing to a string of burglaries following an arrest on Tuesday morning. Police say Mandrell Porter broke into Benson's Appliance Center and the Foley Service Center across the street, then later admitted to an additional commercial burglary and vehicle break-in. He's charged with three counts of third-degree burglary, along with theft, tampering, and criminal mischief. The proposed Santa Rosa County wastewater treatment plant could cost a little bit more. Chris Bryan with this story. He says changing market conditions and the Iran war are to blame.
The cost of Santa Rosa County's new wastewater treatment plant in the Milton Interchange Park continues to climb. P&J's reporting that commissioners approved a $30.9 million estimate last year, but the final price is now $34.3 million, about $3.3 million more than expected. County leaders say changing market conditions are to blame, and the final payment is set for today's consent agenda. Chris Bryan, News Radio 92.3.
Thank you very much, Chris. Florida's Attorney General asking the state's Board of Medicine to investigate whether AI platforms are engaging in the unlicensed practice of medicine. James Uthmeyer says chatbots can appear credible while giving health advice even without medical training. FDLE Commissioner Mark Glass is warning AI tools often fail to flag dangerous drug interactions. Local doctors say patients have been increasingly coming into their appointments and bringing up chatbot advice. Doctors caution that going to those AI chatbots should not replace an actual physician's normal evaluation. And it is 6:34 here at News Radio. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 forecast.
We are going to be seeing a wet day today with a 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms. Otherwise, mostly cloudy skies with a high near 88 degrees. Overnight tonight, temperatures dropping near 76. Another high chance of rain on your Friday, 70% chance of your showers and thunderstorms, high near 88 degrees. Friday night, temperatures dropping near 76. Heading into your Saturday, 50% chance of rain, high near 89. And Saturday night, temperatures dropping near 76 degrees. This is Brooke Richardson from the First Warning Weather Center.
77 in Pensacola and Gulf Breeze. 76 in Milton. Checking in at 6:35 now with PJ, who's got our traffic on the fives.
Travis brought to you by ECUA, making service easier with the new My ECUA mobile app available to download now. Pay your bill, report service issues, alerts, and recycling tips. Taking a look at the big board, we have a vehicle crash, Olive Road, right near Olive Baptist Church. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, Davis Highway at Berg Street in Pensacola. Use caution there. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, I-10 westbound right near Avalon. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
And at 6:35, your next news in 30 minutes, we've got breaking news anytime it happens. I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Nicole Murray with your money now. President Trump says he expects the war with Iran to end and for gas prices to fall after the November midterm elections. Andy Critchlow with Dow Jones Energy on diesel prices.
The diesel price at the moment, you know, we've seen record levels in the US, record levels in Europe. You've got to look at diesel as being the backbone of the global economies. You know, everything that you buy in the shop, the likelihood is that has been transported by an engine that's powered by diesel.
Brent crude topped 102 a barrel this morning. Ryanair CEO Michael O'Leary told reporters that airfare prices will see a significant uplift next year. O'Leary said prices are entirely up in the air for December to March as jet fuel costs surge. Macy's posted strong second fiscal quarter results and raised its full-year guidance. The retailer hiked its outlook for net sales and comparable sales. The earnings come as Macy's implements a turnaround strategy to try to return to growth. Futures are mixed ahead of the wholesale inflation report. That's your money now.
Texting enrolls you in recurring automated marketing text messages. Consent are required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
The team's looking good this season.
I think so. Man, I miss playing football. Ever since I turned 40, I just can't find that fire I used to have.
Think it could be lower testosterone?
What do you mean?
I was feeling the same way. After 40, the body has less testosterone, and men lose their edge. That's why I take Nugenix Total T2.
That's the testosterone booster, right?
Yes, but Total T2 is their brand new formula that skyrockets nitric oxide levels in as little as 3 hours. Since I started taking it, I've been lifting like when we played for Coach Carter. My energy is way up, and it even spiced up things between me and the missus.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles?
Yep, just send a text.
Text SPARK to 215215 for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T2, the next generation testosterone booster. Text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, our newest, most powerful fat burner ever, absolutely free. Text SPARK to 215215. That's SPARK to 215215.
These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Whatever the day, whatever the hour, FPL is working to keep your service reliable and your bills as low as possible by building stronger lines and rerouting power with our self-healing grid. by preparing for storms and restoring service quickly, and by building highly efficient, diverse energy sources. Because we know every dollar counts. FPL, working for you every single day.
When I hit my 50s, I felt like things were slowing down.
This is Sandra's Metamucil story.
I started taking Metamucil for digestion, but had no idea it would impact so much more. Not only did Metamucil help me feel more regular, but my heart health saw the benefits too.
Metamucil, one simple routine, four health benefits. Digestive health starts here. Go to Metamucil.com for more details.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
I can't believe I'm going to say this one out loud, but here goes. The socialists got it right? Again? Zoran Mamdani, America's most hated politician. Or beloved, depending on who you ask. The socialist mayor of New York has now banned the use of AI for students up until the 8th grade. If a socialist does a good thing, you still have to give him credit for it? Yeah, you know, you still do.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
I'm fine, Mike. I could be supportive. The point is, it has to be a real conversation about the budget. And Commissioner Barry said, if I don't have it tonight, I'll never have it. So I'm good. We can do whatever millage rate you want, Ma. If we give 6% to everybody that makes less than $50,000, I'm all on board. Whatever millage rate you want.
I was not expecting that proposal. That was part of the drama that unfolded on Tuesday at the Escambia County budget first hearing. Lumen May saying, I'll vote for your millage reduction as long as you give me 6% of an increase for the folks who make under $50,000 in the county. Now, of course, that will not include the union employees because they negotiate separately, but the premise is that when negotiations come around, anybody making less than 50 grand will benefit from this. But, you know, right now, for about $1 million was the price tag for that, roughly, you know, back of the napkin kind of estimates. Joining us now, Wes Moran, and that got agreed to. Kind of came out of, literally, he's a Democrat, so it came out of left field. And he got it, which was kind of surprising. Wes Moreno, he is the Escambia County Administrator. Wes, welcome back to the show. Good to have you, sir.
Hey, good morning, Andrew, as always. Great to be here.
Yeah, always good. And you got a meeting today, a night meeting today. We've mostly had night meetings recently. The Committee of the Whole got canceled today. Is that right?
That is right. Okay. We didn't really have a good topic for Committee of the Whole, and then tonight is a night meeting. You know, we've gone down throughout the summer months to like one meeting a month. So
it's been rare, yeah.
Night meetings because of the public hearings.
I feel like I've been talking about Santa Rosa County a lot because y'all haven't been talking much. So, you know, okay. But you know, we got a lot on the agenda tonight.
Trying to stay out of the drama, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's been pent up. So just quickly on the employee pay issue. My understanding has always been that it sounds like a nice thing to give the people at the bottom a pay raise, but then you create compression and you create disgruntlement for the middle earners because, you know, they get treated like they're the newbies all over again because they're not making any more than those folks. So you got to push their money up. And like everybody winds up getting pushed up eventually. So is this really solving anything? And also, just out of curiosity, how many employees in the county are we talking about that make under 50 grand and how many of them are like non-union? Do you happen to know roughly?
A good portion of them are non-union. I don't know the actual percentage. I would say it's not as many as you would think.
Okay.
Honestly, when you get to looking at it, we've been looking at this throughout the budget preparation cycle. Myself and Stephan and Nikki Powell in HR, I met with her yesterday. She's got some analytics run, and there's it's not as many as you would think, but it is some that could be addressed. And because we've made some great strides the past 4 or 5 years, an increase in wages throughout the county. So there's not a whole lot left under 50. But like you said, you got to look at the impact and what does it do to compression and how bad does it look when you do that. But we'll work it out. We'll figure it out. And that's what we do. And we'll implement the board's direction and I think working out just fine.
And also, just not to forget to mention it, but I mean, if you give them a raise, that's a recurring cost, not a one-time cost. So, you know, there's now a promise to be, you know, future outgo as well as the current year, which is not, you know, let's just not forget all of that. Data center moratorium tonight. This is part 18 of a, you know, 20-part saga. My opinion, as many times the document has said, is it's already banned. This is where I agree with Lumen. It's already banned. What are we actually, like, how will this change anything?
It won't change. It won't change anything, really. I mean, it's not an allowable use, not a permitted use. And they did the ordinance last meeting, and, you know, there's a cry for moratorium. And I think the board's trying to be amenable as they can. You know, they realize it's a thing, so. We'll see where the discussion goes, if they really want to set some public hearings or not. But, you know, it's a topic. It's a popular topic here lately, so we'll see.
You know me. This is the stuff that I think about. I'm like, I would just love a little bit more emphatic from the board. Look, there's nothing more we can do. There's no making the laws in bigger font or putting gold, you know, like all the laws are the laws, and this is not allowed. So what more do you want from us? But you know, I know it's annoying to have them show up all the time. I get that. Good news on tonight's agenda. The Paradise Beach Fire Station is getting ready to start breaking ground. Is that right?
Yeah. So, you know, Paradise Beach has been out for bid, and actually Myrtle Grove Fire Station is out for bid as well right now. And also on the agenda tonight is to buy a small sliver of property that will help us with the Kingsville Fire Station. And then Pleasant Grove is also in the works. All these fire stations are going to hit relatively close.
There's five of them, right? There's three rehabs and two brand news, right?
I think there's four altogether at the moment.
Oh, okay. All right.
So Paradise Beach came – the bids came in for that about $800,000 over budget. And so that's a concern.
Yeah.
So what I met with staff. What we're going to do is, what's on tonight's budget or agenda is to award a contract for clearing and grubbing at a Paradise Beach site. So we get that awarded, we get that work underway. While we're doing that, we're advertising for the site work. And by the time clearing and grubbing is done, everything goes well, we'll be able to move right into the site work for Paradise Beach. And then while that's going on, we're going to do some owner direct purchasing of the building material itself, because we feel like that will really bring our number down and bring us back into budget. And so we have a lot of that going on all at one time. But yes, the short story is, yes, Paradise Beach, we will break ground with clearing and grubbing relatively soon, within the next couple of weeks.
Okay, well, I mean, this is all especially good news for those folks. Generally good news for anybody who's close to these renovations or new fire stations. I got to ask you a really dumb question because I just don't know the answer. I know what clearing is. What is grubbing? We always say clearing and grubbing. What is grubbing?
Well, you're clearing. You say you take a bulldozer or a track hoe, you put a root rake on it, and you just fine grade the property and get all the roots out of it.
The roots.
Form materials that might be buried there, and you just clear it so you can actually work the material.
Oh, man. Having worked in my own backyard, I can tell you the roots in Florida suck the worst. Okay, that makes sense. You're clearing out the roots. I appreciate it. We're talking to Wes Moreno, Escambia County Administrator. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Olive Road, right at Olive Baptist Church. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, Davis Highway and Johnson Avenue. I'm PJ with your traffic on the five.
Thanks so much. I appreciate that, PJ. Oh, I had let you know earlier that the light at Creighton and Plantation is out this morning, from the storm last night. I'd never seen that when I pulled up on it. I thought, well, that's new. Anything else from the storm overnight that you know of? I mean, I know it's early. It's dark. You probably don't have a lot of reports in yet, but any other effects from the storm?
Yeah, I didn't get notified of anything through the early morning hours. You know, then I would not be surprised if I'm not meant bit of limb down or a tree down here and there, but I've not heard so far.
Okay, well, I mean, you know, I'll take the good news so far, and maybe that persists over time. Four new powered stretchers for the four new ambulances, about $35,000 a piece, but, you know, that's part of equipping the ambulances, right? And that's good news because we're getting more ambulances.
Absolutely, we're getting more ambulances tonight as well. So, yeah, we're continuing to make strides there in public safety and EMS. We want to have the best equipment we can. We want to have plenty of it. So the board's been very generous in investing in EMS and the equipment and the staff that they need. And EMS has been doing a great job. Chris Watts and Chris Stevens over there have been doing a just fantastic job leading the way over there. And it's really coming around. I'm proud of what they've done over there, and I look forward to even better things coming.
The four new trucks is new trucks or replacement trucks?
I think two and two.
Okay. All right. But, hey, expansion. Some expansion is a good thing. Just a quick – the – ECAT Microtransit, I know we've kind of shifted the folks who need assistance back to the original company that was running that before, but where are we at in the global shift of going to a smaller transit, smaller buses away from the large buses? How is that coming along? Are we not done yet? Are we done yet? The ride study has all been implemented?
No, we're not done yet. So okay. We've got the ridership or the route survey, the route analysis. And so we're starting to modify some of our existing smaller vehicles with like bike racks and some other things that they need to be able to run some of the routes and take the bigger buses off the road. So you'll see that happen within the next couple of months.
Okay.
You'll see a shift coming. There's been some challenges. There's been some confusion a little bit with the shift in the community transportation coordinator in the state. Is really the CTC now, and they've contracted the ITL. We had an instance the other day where a lady's son was ADA, and she filled the application out, and she wasn't approved, not by us, but by the provider. And she's a little frustrated, but, you know, you can't ride those, right? We can't give those trips if they're outside of our fixed route area, three quarters of a mile, and she's way outside. So you'll see some instances like that are causing a little bit of confusion, but we're working through it. And again, ECAT's tough. It's a work in progress. There's so many federal rules, so many state rules, so many things with grants that you have to comply to, and it's probably one of the most difficult situations over there that we've encountered through my tenure anyway. Because it's always something looming around the corner, but we'll get to it.
Well, it's
we'll be all right. We're bringing our grant revenue in. You know, we've brought in about $3 million so far through our grants, and we've got $5 million. We're waiting on this held up with the Department of Labor because the ATU filed some sort of a complaint or grievance. They didn't like some legislation that was passed in Tallahassee. And so the DOL is kind of hanging on to it, and I guess they have 60 days to respond to us. But, you know, we're doing all we can to run as efficiently as we can and still provide great service. And it's a work in progress.
And, you know, I've always supported this microtransit concept. You and I have talked many, many times about ECAT. I know it's a complicated thing because you're running a transportation network that, you know, fluctuates a lot. But, you know, I like that you're adding the bike racks to the microtransit. That makes sense. It makes perfect sense to me to see that being done. I did want to talk just a little bit about the Jonathan Owens thing. You know, it seems to me very straightforward. You know, he wins his case. The case arose as a result of him being an employee. Legal fees should be owed because we paid them in the past. And I've kind of read what Allison has written about this, and I've read the coverage of that as well, you know, and Dennis Green's response. But it seems like if you win your case, you get your legal fees taken care of. And sometimes even when you don't win, you know, you get them taken care of.
Yeah, I don't know how the board's going to go on that tonight. I'm going to be like you. I'm going to wait and see what they do.
Well, you know, and it's not your choice. It's their choice, right? They're ultimately the ones that
absolutely.
They tell you guys what.
They have to make the determination, yeah, absolutely.
There's a couple of – it's a smaller item on the agenda, but it's two abandoned RVs and removing them. And I just think, you know, the county has been doing, by my judgment, as an outsider who doesn't have eyes on all the problems – doing a pretty good job of trying to get rid of boats, which are hard to get rid of, and now RVs, which, you know, for everybody may not be an issue, but for the people who live near them, that's an issue, right?
Absolutely. Yeah, we get a lot of complaints for this kind of stuff, and we do abandoned RVs, we do abandoned vehicles, we do derelict vessels, and all of those have their own processes. And but yes, it does make a difference to those who have to live in the vicinity of those nuisances, and Credit Forces does a great job. They cover a lot of ground, and they're busy all the time. But this is part of what they do, and we're happy to be able to provide that service.
There's also a lot of – there's several agenda items about living shoreline stuff. I know, you know, the White Island project was recently, I think, totally completed. You know, there's been sort of ongoing over the years conversation about Navy Point, which maybe didn't go right in the beginning, but it's kind of been redone. Where are we at globally with getting the shoreline projects done?
I think 11 shoreline projects, about 60% complete, maybe a little more or maybe a little less. But they're trucking along pretty good on that project. It's really going well. The 11 shoreline's really going well.
Where is this one?
Chips. It borders NAS, actually.
Okay, all right.
Bio Grande in that area over there. And but it's really going well. Chips are doing a great job. Grant funded. And so it's a big job, a large job, but it's going well. And I think the Navy's happy with what we're doing over there. The citizens are happy with what we're doing over there. And when we get the boat wrapped up on it, it's going to be a great thing for the area down there.
We're also going to renew, or at least ask for a renewal for 10 years, a local option gas tax, which is, what, 6 cents a gallon?
Yeah, that's right. And
this is money that gets shared between you and the city for road maintenance. It comes off of the pump, obviously. It's kind of the idea is to fund road repairs. But, again, working on memory here, it is nowhere close to adequate to actually funding the road repairs in total. And, you know, one of the concerns that people have had over the years is as we get more electric vehicles, they don't pay gas tax. Therefore, the electric vehicles, which are heavier and damage the roads, your, you know, heart is in road stuff because that's where you come from. Are we seeing that in Escambia County where the revenue is shrinking because of EVs and yet the damage is actually getting worse because of them? Is that an issue for us?
We may have seen a little bit of it, not a drastic reduction. We've been supplementing our transportation trust fund with general fund dollars for the past, I don't know, 5 to 7 years probably.
How much? So, do you know?
I'd have to get with Stephen. I'm not sure how much. I know we've been doing it, but it's a couple million.
Okay.
But, yeah, it's not enough to fund all the road maintenance and road repairs. And certainly not enough to cover, you know, our LOST projects, our capital projects. But we do share with the city, and we also share with the town of Century this money.
Oh, that's right,
and
Century, too.
It has to be approved before October the 1st, so we can continue on January the 1st. And so that's why you see it on the agenda tonight.
And by the way, just to be clear, it is 6 cents per gallon. It's not a 6%. So the price of gas fluctuating
Correct.
Does not affect Correct. This, right?
Correct. That's
okay.
Right.
Very good. Well, we'll look forward. It's going to be a long discussion. It'll be probably another 10 or 11 o'clock meeting because of public forum. Yay. good luck to you and your staff. Wes Moreno, he's the Escambia County Administrator. I always appreciate you getting up early and spending some time with me to explain what's coming up on the agenda today when we have these meetings. Wes, thanks for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right. We'll see you, Andrew. Thank you.
You bet. 6:55 on News Radio 92.3. PJ has traffic on the fives.
Still working that vehicle crash, Olive Road, right near Olive Baptist Church. No roadblock associated with that. Also have a vehicle crash with injuries, Davis Highway at Johnson Avenue, and a vehicle crash with injuries, I-10 westbound, right near Avalon. No roadblock there. I'm PJ with your traffic on the fives.
Thanks so much, PJ. You know, I always talk about Torgerson Consulting and how they're a great HR and benefits and payroll management company. And that's, you know, we use them for particular employee benefits and health, dental, vision, life, disability, you know, all of that kind of stuff. And I always talk about my wife, who's an industrial engineer, and she likes them because they're detail-oriented and they answer questions. And when she asks Reed, Reed will either know the answer or will find the answer out for her. And she's very detail-oriented. As a friend of mine made a joke to me yesterday, it's like, it's funny to me that your wife who does not work is your endorsement source for an HR firm. I'm like, buddy, she could run your company or your city very efficiently. So, you know, it's kind of funny. I was talking to her last night. She got a chuckle out of that. But, yeah, you know, she's a hard endorsement to get. And, you know, I've had her endorsement for 29 years most days. Anyway, but she endorses them, and so do I. They have been great for us, and we, you know, wonderful company. They'll come and look at what you're doing and see if there's a way for them to do it better, save you money, you know, do better by your employees. 433-9996. Check them out online at tcbenefitsgroup.com.
Billy Anderson here at Anderson Subaru in Pensacola, and we're excited to announce an incredible 75-month financing on four of our most popular models. Ascent, Crosstrek, Forester, and Outback. Combined with low end-of-summer rates, it's the perfect time to get behind the wheel of a new Subaru. Get 0.9% APR financing for 75 months on Ascent models, the family-sized SUV with flexible seating for up to 8, and 1.9% APR financing for 75 months on the redesigned Outback. Or get 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Crosstrek models. And 2.9% APR financing for 75 months on Subaru Forester models. flexible long-term financing, low rates, and legendary reliability and longevity. Even more reason to love a Subaru from Anderson Subaru, Highway 29, just north of Car City, Pensacola. For details, call 877-554-9791.
Subaru for you, Subaru for you. Anderson's got a Subaru for you. As a business owner, you've got a lot on your plate. Managing staff, growing your business, training new hires, and more. With so much going on, you need Avalon. As an IRS-certified PEO, Avalon HR can help. From running your payrolls, remitting state and federal taxes, workers' compensation insurance, employee benefits, and our HR expertise. Avalon HR lets you focus on your core business while we handle the rest. Employing made easy. AvalonHR.com.
Making it to work on time? No points. Holding the door? Still no points. Remembering trash day? You guessed it, no points. But with the Penn Air Rewards MasterCard, you can get 20,000 points and no balance transfer fees for opening a new card and doing your everyday shopping. Every swipe after? More points, more rewards, more reasons to swipe. Start earning today at pennair.org/creditcards. 20,000 bonus points awarded to new rewards cardholders after the qualifying spend in the first 90 days, insured by NCUA.
You ever hear something in the news and think, that can't be real? MVR breaks it down weekdays at 11 on News Radio 92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620.
Mongo only pawn in game of life.
Early morning, I got Mona Lisa. 629 News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. We got Rick Scott coming up next. We'll talk with him what he has seen at the midterm GOP pep rally, convention, whatever you want to call it, you know, $5,000 semi-promise from President Trump. David Wayne will have your local news coming up next in just a moment, and we will talk more about this interesting budget meeting.
92.3, 95.3, and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3, WNRP.